Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, at The Kick-Ass Life, and, of course, at thekickasslife.com.
This is Dr. Paul Sheely, and you're listening to the 600-second Kick-Ass Life Show with David Wood.
Make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
That it is, that it is. And top of the morning to you all. I hope it's all going well. You know, the show is designed to put a little smile on your face. A little spring into your step. And I'm meant to be giving you a little kick in the bottom. That's right. A little push in the rump. Or a little kick in the arse, as we like to say. And you know, I like to start the show with my little Irish accent on. And a few fun facts. Did you realise that Shakespeare was the one that invented the word assassination? You wonder how all these words come about. He just made it up. So I encourage you all to make up your own words this week. All right. Marilyn Monroe had 6 toes on one of her feet. I'm telling you, if the president had known that, she would not have been singing happy birthday. Not that there's nothing wrong with 6 toes, but, you know, kind of funny when you're sucking a toe. Do you know what I'm saying? Women blink nearly twice as much as men, and now I'm not sure what that means, but I'm sure it means something. And right-handed people, oh, they live on average 9 years longer than left ones. Oh, you poor left-handed people. I didn't realise that. So, and the average chocolate bar, are you ready for a yucky fact? Has 8 insect legs in it. Why would that be? I'm just wondering what's going on in the chocolate factories. And I like myself a chocolate bar. But mind you, when you travel in China, eating insects is quite normal. You know that. I ate a scorpion one time I was there. And they were very crunchy. You know what they tasted like? Chicken. Everything tastes like chicken. Anyway, we've only got about 8 minutes left because this is the 600-second show. So I better change my accent and tell you what this one's all about. It's all about danger. Danger, that's right. We're going to talk about danger for children today. You know, I was inspired by a show on TED Talks. If you haven't listened to TED Talks yet, I absolutely recommend it. Geva Tully, he started a school called The Tinkering School, and he's writing a book called The 50 Dangerous Things That You Should Let Your Kids Do, or something quite, it's close to that title. He inspired me because, you know, I think I'd already let my kids do that. And when we think back to when I was younger, I mean, you know, the station wagons, they didn't even have seatbelts in the car. The kids would be standing up in the back, jumping around, and, you know, the dad would be in the front drinking a beer. But no, you know, there just wasn't as many rules, you know, and today there's rules for everything, you know, and someone gets hurt or someone dies and suddenly we make new rules, which are becoming more and more restrictive. And you kind of wonder, I mean, my boys both like to play video games, and I'm sure anyone who's got a son probably does. And you wonder why that is. I mean, but there is so much more danger and so much more adventure in a video game if they can't do anything, they can't go out there. So I really do believe that Gev is onto something. And I was just in Australia, and I was thinking about, you know, what to buy the boys as a gift. And normally I don't buy gifts. I'm not a big, you know, I travel so much. If I bought a gift every time I went traveling, my kids would be like, Dad, can you go away again? I really like when you go away, right? But I want to go through 5 or 6 of the things that he recommends and a couple that I'm throwing in myself. And but really the inspiration when I was away was to buy them a really kick-ass knife. And my sons are 12 and 14. And there's only 2 rules. When I gave them their knives yesterday, there's only 2 rules that they had. I said, look, first of all, you can't take it to school. And secondly, if you ever take it out to threaten somebody with it or even jokingly, then it'll be confiscated for life. In other words, you get 1 shot at this. You know, so you can't take it to school ever. But, you know, you got to have a knife in your pocket. So we went shopping last night, and I said to my son, I said to Ben, get your knife, put it in your pocket. I mean, just because I remember what the power I felt when I was a kid to have a knife, and, you know, if I saw a piece of wood, suddenly the piece of wood became something. And I could whittle it away, and I could just sit there, and right? And so these are really gorgeous knives, and I spent a little bit of money on them. And you know, I thought, and I actually showed them in the end how much they were. I said, "Look, guys, these are expensive knives, but I really wanted you to have something. They're made by the Swiss Army Knife kind of company, but they, you know, they're what do you call them, camouflaged, and they're quite big, and they have like 9 different things you can pull out." And so that's one. That's one of the ones that Gavitoli says. You know, he says that it's one of those big things for a kid, you know, to whittle wood and to have that sort of thing, give them a knife. And he was talking about, you know, the Inuits and how a baby, when they're sort of really, really, even before they can sort of really sort of comprehend too much, are given knives and well blubber to play with because it's such a part of their culture. And I think that's, you know, really indicative of how some cultures allow their children so much more latitude. And another one like that, you know, when you travel through Europe, this is one I've thrown in. I didn't see Geva hasn't spoken about this, but I've always been a believer. I'm at the table, if I'm having a glass of wine or a beer, I've always offered my children to have a sip, always. Now, my eldest won't sip anything. He's not interested at all, but there's no energy around what I'm saying. You can't drink. You know, I mean, I want my kids, if they're going to have a drink, to understand it's okay and that, you know, as long as it's reasonable. So, but if you go to Europe, you see little kids taking a sip of wine and you see wine being a part of their whole culture. And so my youngest son, he often will have a little sip of wine and I have no energy around it. And because I don't, nor do they. And I like that thought process, is that they don't have this, well, I'm going to piss you off, I'm going to go and get drunk, right? So it's always been a part of our culture at home, and I recommend it. You know, and again, you know, you don't have to agree with me. But, you know, we've, you know, as we look at the way our love for children has, I mean, we still love them. It's just that there is this sort of overprotection thing that's definitely going on. But, you know, we still love them. It's love. It's a mystery. But, you know, here's a few other ones. He talks about allowing them, when you have an appliance that breaks down, have them deconstruct it. And I remember doing this. You know, I was a kid that really didn't have that connection to my parents when I was young. But I had this, I used to take televisions apart. And I remember, you know, I remember blowing things up, and I remember, you know, blowing all the lights in my house. And I'd fix things. And what I'd do, our electrical box was downstairs. I'd run downstairs, and I would plug things in with the power off. And I would turn the power on with my body outside the house in case I blew up the house. I mean, it would be crazy, right? So deconstructing an appliance, and it gives them a sense of knowability, you know. Another one he talks about, you know, is driving a car. And I've always believed in that. You know, the other day we had a party and at the house, and there's cars everywhere. And suddenly I see my car moving out of the driveway, sort of navigating through all these other cars. And I'm thinking, what the heck's going on? I look out there, it's my 12-year-old. He wanted to get in the garage because we have a little farm vehicle in there that he wanted to drive. And I thought, you know what, I could go out there right now and I could stop him. And that would be one thing I could do. Or I could just sort of walk away and pretend I didn't see it. So I walked away and pretended I didn't see it, because I do believe that there's a power in that. And then teaching them, obviously I've taught them how to drive, and I let them drive on my lap when they were young. And I know it's illegal, but just that power and that sense again. And he talks about that being a really, really good one. And I know, you don't realize that the average child hears the word no 150,000 times to the word yes by the time they're 15.
And O is my new yes. When I say no, I'm saying yes to me.
You know, isn't it? So letting them drive a car is something he really talks about. What about spending an hour blindfolded? I remember allowing my kids to walk me through the woods blindfolded and taking in turns to navigate a waterfall, just to give them a sense of power over me, but also letting them be blindfolded to understand that, you know, walk around the house, you know, climbing trees, you know, damming a creek, you know, break the recipe rule book, let them make their own recipe and throw all kinds of crap in there, right? There's so many things he talks about. No, not all of these are his, but it's just such a great, great idea. He talks about breaking laws like the Digital Media Copyright Act, you know, where you sort of buy a song on iTunes, you write it to a CD, and then you rip it onto an MP3 and play it back on the computer. That breaks a law. But it also teaches them that some laws can be broken accidentally. So anyway, it's a really wonderful idea, and I really sort of thinking out there right now for you guys. If there's stuff that I mentioned What's some of the things that you need to start doing to get yourself into that mindset? How can you do that? How can you go and do some of the things you've never done before? Talk about throwing a spear, how it really helps fire the different synapses in the brain by throwing a spear, and they can show this scientifically. So there's probably a million things that you haven't done yet that you should be doing, and playing with, and sort of treating yourself like a child, and going back and into the wonder of some of these things. And if you're raising children, maybe relax a little bit, have a little bit of fun. That's it. Only 600 seconds here, but we'll talk about this. I'll see if I can get this guy on the show. So if you know Gibb Tully and you can get him close to me, let's do that. Let's have this guy on. Let's talk about it for a long show. 50 dangerous things that you should be letting your kids do. Anyway, in saying that, I'll see you on the other side. I am so proud of you people. I'm hearing so many wonderful things about you leading a kick-ass life. And some of you are learning some new accents. I like it. I like it a lot. That is a lot of fun. We can do different kinds of accents as well. It's just this is the one I like for this show. Anyway, see you on the other side. Bye.